Open lines. You know, I'm going to be on my way to Salt Lake City tomorrow, and Darkness Dave is going to be with us, Dave Schrader. So he'll be manning the phone. So I thought we'd do an hour of open lines tonight and make up for some of that. So jump on board. Those of you, by the way, in the greater Salt Lake City area, pick up your tickets. The event is Saturday, and it is almost jam-packed, so let's take advantage of it. The balcony's open, part of it, but where do you want to sit? Sit down, you know, on the ground level, and then we've got a meet and greet after that. So we're going to be back in a moment. Open line calls, lots to talk about right here on Coast to Coast AM. Quite a day today. We taped season number 11 of Ancient Aliens for the History Channel today. And I'm going to be like on 8 episodes, and we did all of them today in one day. But it went like clockwork. We had to stop every once in a while when an airplane went overhead of the little studio that they've got out here. But it's going to be fun, and it's going to be an exciting season with talking about the portals and what happened to Atlantis and all kinds of things. Ancient Aliens, season number 11 on the History Channel. So that was fun. Let's go to the phones. We've got open lines this hour. Let us go to Lynn in Vancouver, British Columbia to get us started. Hello, Lynn. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, George. I found you again. I was listening to an AM station here in Vancouver for years, and then they replaced your show, and I have been looking for you for months now, up and down the dials, not even thinking you might be on an FM station.
Oh, yeah. We're doing some switching. We're doing AMs and FMs. We're all over the place.
Thank God.
Upgrades.
I was about to write a letter. It was like, I'm not kidding. I didn't realize. I went through a withdrawal, George, because, as I mentioned to your producer, you have the most erudite guests, researchers, novelists. You know, you go across the entire spectrum of human knowledge, and you yourself are one of the most intelligent people I have ever heard in my life. Your vast knowledge is throughout that spectrum is unsurpassed by any, as far as I'm concerned.
Wow, that's
on the global scale.
Very kind of you. Overrated, but very kind of you.
Well, I'm trying to say that I didn't realize how much I needed that fresh, clear information just about the world in general and, you know, certain subjects, obviously, specifically, until it wasn't there anymore. And
I'm glad you found us.
I have been starving for intelligence.
Well,
I can't put it any other way.
You got it on this show. We've got the greatest guests in the history of radio, and we have the sharpest callers, all of you.
You do. I mean, you do. In fact, you get some of your callers are so fantastic that they become favorite callers. Like, I'm really glad when I hear of the, that wonderful fellow, Cornelius.
Oh, yes. Bullets, and Beans and all that stuff.
Bullets and Beans. Yeah, he's that man. And but, you know, I miss I miss the voices. You're a radio man. I'm a radio girl, and it's all about the voice.
Well, you become, as a matter of fact, you brought up something, Lynn, that's interesting, because we end up being so familiar with callers and people. There's one caller that we had who hasn't called us in at least 8 months, and he used to call all the time, Jeff in Culver City. And I really think at this point something very bad has happened, because I mean, he was a regular caller. He would always say, and I'll take my answer off the air, in a great, decent human being. Something has happened to him. So if anybody knows what happened to Jeff in Culver City, California, check in with us and let us know. But it is. It's like a family, Lynn.
Yes. And so December 17th was the shock moment when I went to tune in, like, nightly. I'm tuning in nightly. And to catch up with the world in the George Norrie sphere, and nothing was there.
Well, the station we had been on in Vancouver, Canada, they had a format change, so they switched, and we, of course, found other affiliates, and Canada's been a great, great market for us, the country itself. I mean,
yes.
We're everywhere.
I was like, freaking, because I'm not on the internet, So radio and television are really the only places I get news. And I try and bounce around because I always try and get different points of view and then try and make up my own mind what I, you know, based on what I see.
Sure.
Here. And honestly, I've been starving, literally starving.
Well, you're not going to starve anymore.
No, because I found you. Not only did I think I've got some AM station in Idaho that was not coming in very well, but I heard you tonight for the first time since December 17th. And let me tell you, when you said open lines, I thought I have to phone just to say I found you again.
And you're a happy camper.
And now I found out you're also on an FM station here in town.
Yeah, absolutely. So have fun with it, okay?
So I'm going to have a lot of fun. Thank you so much, and just keep on going. And the only thing I would want to hear more about is that wonderful fellow about all the missing people in the parks.
David Politis, who emailed me tonight, as a matter of fact. And also, I just did a Beyond Belief television show with David. Make sure that you watch it by going to beyondbelief.com. They've got a promotion going. It's 99 cents, and that program should be edited pretty soon. I think they're still working on it, but what a great show. And we'll get David back again, and he's working on another documentary as well. But those missing people in parks, bizarre, absolutely bizarre. And what's even more bizarre and stranger, people are disappearing all over the place. Where do they go? Let's go to Dennis in California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Denny, welcome to the program.
Hi, George. Thank you very much.
Sure thing.
I have a burden for the state of California. It's listening to a town hall meeting with my congressperson.
Oh, yeah. Lots going on in California these days. Jeez.
Yeah. At any rate, it was frustrating. He never did take my call, but mentioned that one of the problems is shortage of water. One of his answers is to build a new reservoir, I think, in the Coast Range. And I'm thinking,
how about desalinization plants?
What's that?
Desalinization plants along the ocean.
He mentioned some of that, and what frustrated me is sewage treatment and injecting that into the groundwater.
Ah, good point.
I'm thinking if you made it perfect, that would be one thing. But, you know, I'm reluctant. But California has water. And the thing that my ag teacher in high school, I'm 69 right now, but the ag teacher mentioned that California used to, in the Delta area, the farmers would sometimes pump salt water because you're too high tides. The ocean bay water comes in.
Yeah.
And the answer then, and this was in the 60s, was that California had enough snowpack, had enough water and reservoirs, that they would flush enough fresh water to fight the tide, to fight the salt, and keep it back from the Delta area. We don't have that now.
Mm-mm.
We can't do that. And he also taught us about several plans from the late 1940s and two, I think, in the 50s to dam in different areas to make a saltwater barrier. And if we did that, there would be some problems to work out. But then you wouldn't have to waste the fresh water you have,
which is not that plentiful sometimes. Now,
right.
I think Cali is no longer considered in a drought, right? That's gone, I think.
They're hoping with their fingers crossed.
They had a lot of snow up north and things like that, so who knows?
Yeah, they're not up to 100% yet.
All right.
But the thing that they could do then, if they weren't wasting it two high tides a day fighting the salt water, they could take that water and they could send it to southern San Joaquin Valley, and they could recharge the groundwater with good, clean, fresh water. They could send plenty to L.A. area, the Colorado River. They don't get as much anymore. They're not able to pull out of there for Southern California because of the shortages in the Colorado River Basin. And if they just, I think, about a mile and a quarter, build a dam under the Golden Gate Bridge. Then they don't have to build 50 miles of, as ocean rises, of levees from San Francisco to San Jose, and then all the way 50 miles back on the other side, all the way around Alameda, and then, you know, Marin County and Contra Costa County and all that stuff.
We ought to get you on the Water Commission. That's what we need, somebody who knows what they're talking about. Hey, let me take a few more calls before the break. But Daniel's in Fort Myers, Florida. Welcome to the show. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, what's up?
All is well. How about you?
Oh, good. Just two-part. Want to say thanks because I've been on night shift for like the past 2 weeks, and your show keeps me entertained every night.
Thank you. What do you do?
Oh, I'm a patrol guy, so take care of a community. But that's not important. What I really want to talk to you about is the Ancient Aliens guy, right?
Yeah.
A lot about the ancient civilizations, and I watch the show frequently. It's a really fun show. What I found interesting that I don't ever hear him really talk about is, you know, a few months back I was reading an article, and it says that they found a thermal pocket under Antarctica, right?
Yes.
Giant thermal pocket. And it's got all sorts of volcanoes and vents, and it's got its own little system down there and caves that lead down to the bottom of it.
That's right.
No, next time you get one of those guys on the line or in your studio, you need to be asking them what they're doing to kind of research that area. I just had
Michael Sala on the program talking about Antarctica. It was a wonderful program. I don't know if you're a Coast Insider. You can go back and listen to the show. But there's some strange things going on there, some really strange things. Next up, Barry in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Hello, Barry.
Hi, George. I tell you what, buddy, that lady from Vancouver a few minutes ago hit it right on the head. I mean, you are a smart character, and you have the best audience and the best guests. And I'm telling you, I just about died laughing. I heard that crazy, the guy that was saw the car wreck, and the four little old ladies, it got out and beat the.
Every once in a while is a little laugh pick-me-up. We were talking about road rage that night, and that was just perfect to play.
That's about the third time I've heard you play it, George, in the last 5 years or so.
It's his laugh that's so funny.
Yes. That's what gets me every time, George. I mean, by the time he's finished telling his buddy about this, and the little old lady gets out, she's only 4 foot nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Hit him in the head with a Bible.
Yeah. She had a Bible in her hand, and she's beating me over the head with her Bible.
You sound like the guy.
I swear to God, George, I laugh just like him. And, you know, I get carried away sometimes, just like I am right this minute.
I hear rumors that you have heard rumors that I may be doing a live show in Asheville again this year.
As a matter of fact, I spilled the beans to a bunch of people before you even announced it.
We haven't even officially announced it yet.
Oh, I thought Tommy told me that y'all were going to announce it last week.
No, we haven't announced it yet.
Well, I guess now. You
have. That's right. Are you coming to this one?
I've already got my front row ticket.
They're not even up for sale yet.
Yeah, well, the thing about it is, George, I called them at the theater, and three girls called me back the same day and said, "Hey, Barry, are you the one that was there last time?"
That's funny.
And I said, "Yeah." And they said, "Oh, we want to meet you so bad."
You become a personality.
Listen, I told him, I said, hey, George Norrie met me in Charlotte several years ago, and he just gave me the biggest handshake and grabbed me and hugged me, and I just felt like I was 9 feet tall.
Yeah, I remember that when we first met.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll never forget it. It's one of the highlights of my whole life, George, and I've had some experiences. I'd love to sit and talk to you for a couple of hours, you and Tommy both.
Don't threaten me, Barry.
Yeah. Hey, have you seen the picture of me and Tommy?
He's got it in my office.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I started to send two of them. If you want one, I'll send you one, too.
Well, he brought it in and tacked it up there, and it's sitting there. You're looking at me, and he's looking at me every day that I'm here.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm going back to St. Louis for about a month.
I just got off the phone with Gina Salvati, and she's going to try to come to Asheville this year, August 25th.
She's a great girl, great helper. Bright, intelligent, she's just a great part of the team.
I'm telling you, buddy, you have got a super, super group of friends and pals and employees working for you.
I am blessed, Barry, with the greatest staff of any talk show host. I mean, and we haven't had any turnover. I mean, they've been with me going on 16 years now.
I'm telling you, George, it's kind of phenomenal because I don't know if you remember me telling you back when I was in college in 1968, 69, I was a radio host from midnight to daylight.
That's right.
The name of my show was Barry. Here's Barry from midnight to daylight.
Did you have fun?
Yeah, I would put Pink Floyd or something on there, play for 30 minutes, and I'd study. I'd study for an exam or a test or something I had in college the next day. Of course, it was a little tiny town. It only had 5,000 watts of power. It didn't cover but 35 miles from the little town I was in.
That's not bad.
No, actually, it was fun.
Hey, pretend you're on the air. This is your radio show, and it's starting. How did you start? What did you say? Go ahead. Do it like you're on the air live. Ready?
I said, good evening, folks. You're listening to Barry from midnight to daylight. Here I am in living color.
I love it. And you had fun.
Oh, my gosh, George. And I would trade places with you. If I
wouldn't trade with you.
If I was 20 years younger, I would be working for you. I'm telling you, I'd have Tommy Danhauser's job, and I wouldn't run him off. But
I couldn't support. I couldn't pay for two of you, so we'd have to get rid of him.
No. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't replace anybody on your show. And some of the characters you announce when you sign off, I love Jimmy Church.
Jimmy's a good guy. Good guy.
And go Beckley Teppy.
I met Jimmy Church at an event years ago, and he was doing some work on some underwater possibilities off the coast of Catalina Island, I believe, in Los Angeles, and I just liked his style. I said, I'm going to try you out. I'm going to let you do a few shows for us, and I think he thought I was blowing smoke at him, but I followed up with it, and he's part of the team, too. Jimmy, you do a great job. We're going to come back with more open lines in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And we are back with our final segment of open lines here, and let's go to Michael in Jamestown, North Carolina, to get us started. Hey, Michael, welcome.
Oh, hi, George. How are you?
Okay, thank you.
Good. Now, I'm calling. First off, I enjoyed seeing you in Pittsburgh at the Mind, Body, Spirit Expo last
year. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, I'm calling because I want to ask you, you talked about this a few years ago, but I don't remember what you said. Why can't we remember past lives?
Yeah, I mean, you have to undergo past life regression therapy and hypnosis and stuff like that. The experts tell me, Michael, that we do that so we don't confuse ourselves with our current lives. Or maybe it was too tragic. There was something bad, and so we just don't have that recollection in our normal day-to-day activity.
Okay, because you know, I think there's definitely some type of a connection between the past life and this life. I mean, for instance, like, I don't know, I really do not like knives for any reason. I mean, if I have to use a knife, I try to use a plastic knife. So I'm wondering, maybe I might have been stabbed in the
maybe
past life or something.
Let's assume you're afraid of the water. You may have drowned in another life.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
That happens. That happens a lot. Let's go to Gordon, Lakewood, Florida. Welcome to the program. Hey, Gordon.
Hey, long time no see, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
One of your first callers, Lynn in Vancouver, she spoke so well of your regular callers, and that reminded me that you guys have treated me better than any other call-in program. I very rarely get on, say, Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity, and these are, you know, good people, but I can barely get on them. And so since I'm here in Lakeland, actually Lakeland between Orlando and Tampa, and I've met the governor a few times, and I want to give you all some updates
okay.
on the Florida gun bill. So what happens is everyone knows that the governor is thinking of signing it, and the question is he going to sign it or veto it? And he's a right-wing person like me and like Cornelius. Surprisingly, he was hung up on the issue of arming teachers. So the House and the Senate in Florida are right-wing Republicans, and they watered it down so that only some teachers can be participate in the armed program if they want. Now, the bill has a lot of things in it that the liberals like a three-day waiting period, raising the age of guns from dealers. You can get them, I guess, from a family member, getting rid of bump stocks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So the liberals are actually on board even more, and all of the families of the people that were victims have asked the governor to sign this, and he's still not sure. But here's the thing. A lot of educators, including your very nice call screener, have educators in their family and are concerned about guns at school, but there's a lot of Second Amendment supporters too. And so I want to remind everyone that in Texas, some of the schools have teachers that are armed. And it's not every teacher, but it's the ones that want to participate in it.
They're trained. They're highly trained.
That's right. And no high school ever that has had armed teachers. Now, no method is perfect, okay? But in no high school or college, Webster University, Southeastern University in Lakeland, Florida, that school in Texas is having had armed teachers for about the past 10 years. No high school or university with armed teachers or staff has ever had a shooting, as far as I can tell. Now, there might have been one, but so what I'm saying is that this method of arming certain teachers and training them and keeping that secret and whatnot is probably the most effective thing to protect students. Back when you were a kid, some of the high schools and junior high schools had students come to class with their 22 rifles. There were no mass shootings. Now, this wasn't everywhere in the U.S., but this was in certain regions. So what I'm saying is that we think that the governor is going to sign this because he's buddying up to the families. And you know, the families are liberal. They hate guns. And a lot of liberal lawmakers came on board. And so there's support from both liberals and conservatives for this particular bill. And the thing of it is that the hang-up that the governor and a lot of the public has is arming teachers, but it works in Texas.
Well, it does work. And here's another episode. I think we should put metal detectors in the main front area of every school. And I know that they want to keep other doors open because of fire potential and hazards. I think those doors should be locked. Here's the big problem you're going to have. You put detectors in the front of the door, and so the thug can't bring his gun in there. He may stay out in the parking lot and gun down students as they come out of school. It's almost impossible to prevent if something like that is going to happen. I'm in favor of raising the limit from 18 to 21. I know a lot of gun supporters, and I'm a gun supporter, but a lot of them don't want to do that. I don't see anything wrong with that. Next up, let's go to John in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Welcome to the program. Hey, John, how's the weather out your way?
It's ameliorated some. We had some pretty mean weather and mean stuff. George, I love that girl from Ipanema bumper song, Sergio Mendes, Brazil 66.
Great stuff.
Yeah, well, the incident I'm going to refer to occurred during that era.
Okay.
I was a young Marine during the Vietnam War. I was hitchhiking down a spooky coastal highway on a moonlit night when I was given a ride by a large old pickup truck. I leaped in, and I was horrified when I glanced over and saw the driver was a gray, greenish monster who looked exactly like Frankenstein.
Whoa.
Who immediately said to me, "Where are you going?" I said, "Camp Lejeune." And after about 4 minutes, he turned left on a dirt road that led to the ocean and a pier with a wooden pier, old wooden pier with a fishing boat.
Oh, boy.
I said, "Stop this truck."
You thought this was it. This was it, wasn't it?
The monster stopped the truck. And then you know what he said?
What'd he say?
"Let's go fishing." I said, "You go fishing. I'm going back to Camp Lejeune." I jumped out of that truck. I beat my feet to that highway. I kept moving until I was well out of sight of that truck.
Are you sure it wasn't some dude in a costume?
No, it was not a dude in a costume. It was a huge, monstrous-looking dude. And I did not have any sensation that it was some dude in a costume. It was like a 400-pound monster.
Jeez. You know, it's a weird feeling, too, when you get in your car and you're adjusting. This is at night. And you're adjusting your rear-view mirror, and you swear you see eyes in it looking back at you. Ooh, that is kind of scary. Don't like that at all. Hey, John, thanks for that story. It's going to keep a lot of people up at night. Charles in Elgin, Texas. Welcome to the show, Charles. Go ahead.
Hey there, George. Good. It's so good to hear this show in the middle of the night. Boy, I tell you.
We're going to be here for a long, long time.
I don't think I could have made it through the past 2 years, especially.
Yeah, you had a rough couple of years, didn't you?
Oh, my God. And, you know, one of the things about those years is the way people, one of the things that happens on your show, which I mean, maybe you could consider ways that maybe you could use the word negativity a bit less. Because really sometimes I think that word victimizes people.
Well, I only use the word negativity to really augment positivity. Is that
yeah,
a word?
Well, yeah. And I mean, I understand that you're trying to do your best there, but I think the problem is, I mean, you get all these people that say, "Oh, well, if you do this negative thinking, you know, and you're..."
Well, you have a lot of negative people out there, first of all.
Yeah.
They're there.
And the thing is, but you get this, you know, they sort of like blame people. It's sort of like blaming the victim. And then it creates a victimization sort of of people. The past 2 years. I was thinking of tonight was real interesting. It was really great to hear Morgana's.
She's upbeat, isn't she? Wow.
Well, it was good to hear her take on, you know, the negative and the positive and all that kind of stuff. Because every time you would bring up the negativity and things like that, she would always say, "Well, you need to have the negativity too, though. You need to be able to so-called, you know, first of all, it's a word. There's a lot of other things that you could use to describe what you're describing. You could talk about something being, you know, just bad and good for that matter, you know."
Well, that's true, too. But, you know, you sound like you've been positive. You're coming out of that hole that you were in. You are. It's going to happen. Annie in Alabama. Hi, Annie.
Thank you, George. I would like for you to bring an expert onto the show that's an expert in tariffs and imports, because Dr. Joe Wallach has inspired me to investigate sugar. And because I agree with him that white sugar is killing people,
yeah,
I've uncovered a conspiracy, a white sugar conspiracy to murder people by the billions for population control.
That's an interesting take. Doc Wallach, by the way, is on Monday in our first couple hours. Go ahead.
And the brown sugar is extremely high. It costs eight times as much. The Mexican brown sugar,
which is the better sugar to use?
Cio. Pete on Cio.
All right, let me check into that. And you know, of course, we're opposed to aspartame. We don't like that. MSG, we don't like that. But Doc Wallach is going to be our guest for the first couple hours on Friday. Dave Schrader, by the way, talking about Slender Man tomorrow. So make sure you're part of the program. As I head for Salt Lake City, Utah, here, this is my last opportunity to tell those of you out in the Salt Lake City area, jump on board, get your tickets tomorrow. The show is Saturday, and Tommy is going to be there tomorrow as well, getting things ready. And three special guests, Jason Martell, talking about ancient technologies, Danion Brinkley, the guy who died twice and came back to talk about it, and then Nick Pope, the British Ministry of Defense ufologist, will be with us as well. For Nathan Staton, Dan Galanti, Gina Salvati, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.